Let's pray for the message, why don't we? It's always good to pray for the message. Don't you want to get something from it? That's why you pray for it. It's a selfish prayer. Lord, we ask that you would be with us today. I ask that you take these words and give them some life for each of us here in whatever way you need to speak to us, and that it would be something that we can take home with us. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're sitting next to somebody, turn to that person and say, you need to hear this. And if you're the one who said it to you, say, as if you don't. Do you ever wonder why only a little of your spiritual significance happens in this in your life? Or do you wonder why you keep stumbling along and don't seem to get it together spiritually speaking? Do you ever wonder why you fail at the spiritual nature of your life so often? Now, those are spiritual questions, but let me ask you some that aren't spiritual. Do you ever wonder why you fail in the things of this life? Do you ever wonder why you can't accomplish what you want to? Do you wonder why you fail at that? Well, since it's New Year's and resolutions, you ever wonder why you fail at that diet or that discipline or that, maybe it's your job or business or, dare I even say this, your marriage, that relationship? Do you ever wonder why you fail to take risks and step out on faith on occasion? Well, I want to answer some of those questions for you this morning. This is not my opinion. This is the truth on why we fail. Whether we are talking about our spiritual journey of discipleship or whether we're just talking about our worldly journey in terms of our day-to-day lives. Now, I expect everybody here, I think, believes in God. I doubt seriously if we have any atheists here. I expect all of us believe in God. I also believe that most of us believe that Jesus is the Son of God, the second person of the Godhead, is the Savior of the world. I believe that most of us believe that he was sent by God to take away the sins of the world and whatever that means to you personally. I also suspect that most of us believe that Jesus is our personal Savior. That is, he died for my sins. I expect that a good number of us understand the truth that we are to make Jesus Lord of our personal lives as well. And we try to do that as best as we can with varying degrees of success. I suspect that most of us fail pretty miserably at times in terms of doing that and making Jesus Lord of our lives. Why do we fail? Well, I'm convinced the reason we fail is because even though most of us believe in God, we don't believe God. We believe in God, but we don't believe Him. And that's why we fail. I also suspect that most of us don't recognize the difference in believing in God and believing God. Taking Him at His word, believing what He says. That's why we fail. Not only that, but we don't even believe in ourselves a lot of the time. Do you believe in yourself? Or do you think that you are lacking in talent or ability or intelligence or capability or clout or influence? Our problem is we don't believe, we doubt ourselves. And that is why we fail. Let me start with the whole idea of believing in yourself before I even talk about the other stuff. I saw one of these talk shows, and this was a number of years ago, and I don't know if it was Oprah, Donahue, but I think it was Jerry Springer. and the topic of the day was American men who had essentially mail-ordered for Oriental wives and why they had done it. Well, there was a lot of talk, as there always is. But underneath the talk, there seemed to be a substantial reason why this was taking place. Some of the reasons for these men doing this, mail ordering their wives, were that American women We're too independent, non-supportive, and not very loving. Well, of course, that stirred up a hornet's nest. Then came what I think is the root problem. One man stated that American women don't believe in their husbands. He said that he married this Oriental woman because she believes in me. And that's what he said. She believes in me. Now, when he said that, something registered on the inside of me about our society. We don't believe in people. We don't believe in ourselves. This man voiced something that is deep down inside of all of us. We need somebody to believe in us. We need to believe in ourselves, our capabilities, our talents. What this man was saying was, I want someone to be my wife who believes me when I say something. I want someone who believes me when I venture out in the murky waters of the world. I want somebody to stand with me no matter what. What this man was saying was, I want someone to believe me even if I fail. And what all these men were saying was that their lives had become empowered by someone believing in them. Now, there's a great deal of truth in the cliche, behind every successful man is a good woman. And I would add a good woman who believes in him. A woman who stands with him and believes him no matter what things look like. Now, some of you are of a generation. In the second Star Wars movie, The Empire Strikes Back, there is a scene in which Yoda, the Jedi Master, is teaching Luke Skywalker about being a Jedi, and Luke is levitating stones around by use of the Force, which is that invisible power behind the universe and which holds everything together. And they're in a swamp, and Luke's spaceship is half sunk in the muck and mire, and this ship really is the symbol of Luke's ability to return to his world in which he lives. Well, the ship sinks completely into the swamp, and R2-D2, that little garbage can, screams a warning, and then a conversation takes place. And I have a clip for you.
No. We'll never get it out now.
So certain are you? Always with you, it cannot be done. Do you nothing that I say?
Master, moving stones around is one thing. This is totally different.
No, no different. Only different in your mind. You must unlearn what you have learned.
All right, I'll give it a try.
No, try not. Do. Oh, do not. There is no try.
I don't believe it.
That is why you fail.
Luke says that you want the impossible, and he sits down and dejectedly, and Yoda proceeds to levitate that spaceship out of the muck and mire onto the dry land, and Luke gets up in amazement. He walks over and he says, I don't believe it. And Yoda drives home the point. As Luke says, I don't believe it. He says, that is why you fail. So certain are you? For those of you who aren't really sure who Jesus is, or God for that matter, for those of you who don't have a living, dynamic relationship with God through Jesus Christ, there's a very human message for you today if you're here. If you don't know Jesus, I invite you to come today and believe in Him as a first step, to believe that He is your salvation. Begin that process of making Him Lord of your life. But if you aren't prepared for that leap of faith even, believe this. Believe in yourself. Believe in your talents, your capabilities. You know, my father taught me to believe in myself. He said, you have God-given talents, son. Use them. And don't be afraid to use them. And believe in yourself. And don't let the world determine by its opinion your ability to accomplish what you are called to do. He also said, believe in Jesus. Now, for those of you who aren't quite there yet, believe in yourself. I do. You know, a little personal here. People have been underestimating me for years. You know, I was at a church down in Western Kentucky, and I went there in 1975, and the Presbytery of Western Kentucky, which is the overcovering of all the Presbyterian churches in that area, tried to keep me from going to that church, and they were afraid that that congregation would destroy me. I was too young, and this congregation had a bad reputation in the presbytery. It had a nasty reputation of being a problem church and hard on ministers, and it was a 50-year cycle that they were in. Ministers had a nasty habit of not lasting more than 2 or 3 years at this church, and this had been going on for 50 years. Anyway, they told me in a roundabout kind of way that I couldn't handle that bunch of rebellious pain-in-the-neck people. And I told them I could. They didn't believe me when I said, I can do this. They underestimated me. And after 23 years, I came here. In 1981, I started the Walk to Emmaus down there. And Presbytery didn't want me to start it. Other groups, which I won't mention, didn't want me to start it. They underestimated me again. When we sat down and wrote The Great Banquet, it took a year to do that. People didn't want me to do that either, and you can't do that. And they underestimated me again. Now, there were a lot of struggles with this stuff. I moved here in 1998 to Woodland Chapel, and let me tell you something. Woodland Chapel was a dying church, and it had a bad reputation in town. Now, I don't know what the people of the church heard about them, but I heard it for the first year to 2 years I was there about how bad Woodland Chapel was, and everybody in the city seemed to have gone there at one time. And people weren't sure whether I could do anything with it. But I knew that with God's help, we could do something. We moved here in 2009, first Sunday in 2009. There were people in that church that didn't want to do that and didn't think we could do it, couldn't handle it, do it. And here we are. You see, the problem has to do with belief. What I believe, what you believe. You see, I believe in myself, but I believe in my capabilities, my talents, that God has given me my strength. But more important, I believe God. I believe Jesus, and I believe it when it says it in the Bible. I believe that with God, nothing is impossible. All things are possible through Jesus Christ who strengthens me. Yoda is right. It's all a matter of believing. The reason we fail is we don't believe. And you know what? you can't fake it either. Sure, we believe in God, but we don't believe Him. In Genesis chapter 15, Abraham is having a hard time believing God. Now, he isn't having a problem believing in God. He has been talking to Him. Abraham's problem is the same one that we have. Abraham just didn't believe what God said. And God had told Abraham that he was going to have a land and a son who would be his offspring, by which God was going to bless all the world, but he just couldn't buy into the program. Read with me Genesis 15, 1 to 6. Here we go. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Fear not, Abram, I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. But Abram said, O Lord God, what wilt thou give me, for I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, Behold, thou hast given me no offspring, and a slave born in my house will be my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, This man shall not be your heir, your own son shall be your heir. And he brought him outside and said, Look toward heaven and number the stars, if you are able to number them. Then he said to him, So shall your descendants be. And he believed the Lord, and he reckoned it to him as righteousness. Read verse 6 with me again. And he believed the Lord, and he reckoned it to him as righteousness. Now I want you to notice that it doesn't say Abraham believed in God. It says Abraham believed God. There is a big difference. I expect that we all believe in God, but we don't all believe God when He speaks to us in our lives. Do you believe God when He says, Vengeance is mine, I shall repay? Do you believe Him or do you take matters into your own hands? When somebody wrongs you, do you, in your anger or hurt, demand some kind of payment? God says, when you are wrong, I will take care of it. And I will pay back according to the crime. Do you help God pay back? Because you really don't believe Him when He says He'll take care of payback. Do you believe God when He says, I am your shield and defender? Or do you shield yourself and defend yourself? As Psalm 37 says, and I did a sermon on this, and buddy, let me tell you, do you refrain from fretting and worrying about the evil of the world, or do you fret and worry all the time? God says, don't fret about evil things and evil people. Just trust me, delight in me, don't be envious, commit your way to me, be still, and don't fret. Psalm 37, refrain from anger, forsake wrath. Do you believe Him, or do you just go on fretting and worrying and getting mad about things you can't control? Our problem is we believe in God, but we don't believe Him. We don't take His words to heart and live them out. God said on the Mount of Transfiguration, He said, This is my beloved Son, listen to Him. That's what it says. You may believe in Jesus as your Savior and the Son of God, but do you believe Him? Read with me Matthew chapter 6, verse 25, 32 to 33. Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor about your body, what you shall put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? For the Gentiles seek all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things shall be yours as well. Do you believe Him? Or do you fret and worry about your job or lack of job, your money, your investments, your health, your toys, your things, your kids, your spouse, etc., etc.? Are you worried about a lot of things? Or do you believe Jesus? If you believe Jesus, then you seek God's rule in your life as a priority, and a life that is set apart for His use. And all this other stuff will be taken care of by Him. Do you believe Jesus? Do you believe God? God said, this is my son. Listen to him. And Jesus said, don't fret about all the things that the world frets about. When Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments, do you believe him or just believe in him? When Jesus says, if a man loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. In other words, believing Jesus' words is the same as loving him. Yoda was right when Luke said, I can't believe it. And Yoda said, that is why you fail. That's why we fail in the Christian life. We believe that Jesus is the Son of God, but we don't believe him and act on what he says. It's as simple as that. In the 14th chapter of John, and you can read it with me, verses 8 to 10 and 11 and 12, something happens. Let's read it. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and we shall be satisfied. And Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and yet you do not know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me will also do the works that I do. Now, if you look at this in verse 11, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. You know, what does that say to you? Believe me when I say something to you. I mean it when I say something to you. Do you know why we fail regularly in our spiritual life? We don't believe Jesus and act on it. Do you know why there's so little power possibly in your faith and life? You don't believe Jesus. Therefore, you don't receive the power that goes with believing him. Not believing in him, believing him. Let me give you a good biblical picture of why we fail in our journey towards discipleship and why we fail in our Christian life. In the 13th chapter of Matthew, there's something that occurs when he goes home. Let's read it together. Here we go. And coming to his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, so that they were astonished and said, where did this man get this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? Are not his brothers James and Joseph, Simon and Judas? And are not all his sisters with us? Where then did this man get all this? And they took offense at him. But Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor, except in his own country and in his own house. And he did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Because of their unbelief. They said, where does this guy get all this wisdom and the things that he's been doing? Is this not the carpenter's son? Isn't his mother Mary? Don't we know his brothers and sisters? And they said, well, we're familiar with him. He can't do that. And they took offense. But Jesus said to them, and this is another one of those things, you better believe it when he says it, a prophet is not without honor except in his own country and in his own house. Why? Because they think they know him and they don't believe he can do these things. They also don't believe his words. And the passage ends with these words, and he did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. He did some mighty acts, but not many, because they didn't believe. They didn't believe in him or believe him. The scripture in Genesis that we read together is a picture of God getting Abraham's attention. Abraham was stuck in the muck and mire like Luke's spaceship. He believed in God, but he just couldn't quite believe God when he said that he was going to be his shield, that his reward was going to be great, that he was going to have a son, his own son. So God took him outside. He took him by the hand. He said, come here. And he said, I want you to look up there at the sky and see if you can count all those stars. He said, get your eyes off yourself, Abraham, and your situation. Believe me when I tell you, you're going to be blessed with a son and you will be a blessing to the world. And something clicked. And Abraham at that point, suddenly he believed God and power was released because of his believing. It wasn't when Abraham finally, it was when Abraham finally believed what God was saying to him that the life force began to flow. You know why we fail in this life? We fail because we do not believe what God says. You don't believe God when he makes promises to you, and therefore you live in fear or insecurity or no hope, and then you fail in some area of your life. You don't believe God when he tells you by his commandments, by his principles, if you do this or you do that, it will really mess you up. And then we go on and we do it our own way anyway. And what happens? It really messes us up. And we fail. You have heard it all your life that if you receive Jesus as your Savior, you will be saved to eternal life. But you don't believe it. You believe in God, but you don't believe his plan for your salvation and for your life. So you wander around in this life, and if you go out of this life without knowing who Jesus is, you fail. See, that's how it works. We don't believe God through his son Jesus when he tells us that if we do certain things, live certain ways, it gives life not only to us, but to those who are around us. And so we don't believe him or follow where he leads, and we fail. That's how it works. And then we wonder why we fail. Well, it's pretty simple. Jesus even tells us why we fail. Read with me John 15:5. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, and you can do nothing. Now, I wonder if you believe him. He says that he is the grapevine, and Father God is really the vine dresser of the vine. And he says that we are like branches on that vine that is him. And as long as we're attached to him, we bear fruit and we bring forth life. If we somehow get detached from the vine, not only do we not produce fruit, but we wither and die personally as well. Inside of us. He says that if we are attached to him and don't produce any fruit, then Father God comes along and cuts that unproductive branch out of the vine. Why? Faith without works is dead. Jesus says we fail if we are detached from him, either by lack of fruit or cutting ourselves off. Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from me, you fail. To abide in Jesus and Jesus in you, then to begin to act out what Jesus says. The more you abide in him, the more you believe what he says, the more you produce in terms of your life. The more detached you are, the less you believe him, the more you fail to produce fruit. It's really pretty simple. The reason we fail is we believe in God, we believe in Jesus, but we don't believe what he says. Power and life is released as we believe what he says. Now, one final thing about this, because I want to turn it around. God believes in you. Did you know that? God believes in you. As hard as that may be to swallow, He believes in you. He believes you are worth saving. He sent His Son to give His life for you. Hard to believe. That's that act of faith. That's hard to believe. But believe it. Jesus said, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Jesus said, God so loved the world that He sent His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. The man on the talk show had been looking for a wife who believed in him. Well, believing and loving someone are pretty much the same thing. Somebody needs to tell that man and all of us, God believes in you. God loves you and He believes in you because He loves you. And that's the truth as well. So believe it when I say it, because I mean it when I say it. God loves you. Let's pray. Oh Lord, we come to you today. A lot of times we believe in you, but we don't believe you when you talk to us. Help us to not only believe in you, but believe it when you say it to us. In Jesus' name.